Hello and welcome to episode 72 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, joined by very special guest this week, Mets minor league pitcher, Paul Gervais. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. And Mike's not able to join us this week, so it's just going to be you and I. But obviously, if Mets fans don't know, you were drafted in 2022 by the team, have had a couple of years now in professional ball, pitched last year for the Rumble Ponies, part of their kind of playoff run there. So I kind of wanted to start things off there. I was just wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about that playoff run and also just kind of how the pieces that the Mets added at the trade deadline helped you guys out in Binghamton kind of with that push there.
Yeah, it was awesome. That team was loaded. We were obviously benefited by the trade deadline and by obviously Jeremiah and Gilbert and Acuna and all those guys that we traded for that came up and helped us out. And then as soon as they got there and a couple of us got it up from Brooklyn, I feel like everything started clicking and we got hot at the right time. And we used that to kind of just roll into the finals until we met a hotter team. But it was a lot of fun. Those guys, they're all great clubhouse guys. They brought a lot to the team, obviously, offensively, defensively. And it was a lot of fun for sure. That was some of the most fun I've ever had playing baseball was that final stretch run.
That's awesome. And it seems like, you know, the guys, once they kind of came in, obviously kind of gelled very quickly, like within the organization, within your guys' clubhouse, obviously was a nice, you know, spark there. Excited to see kind of what they can do in the future. But you talked about making that jump from Brooklyn then to Binghamton. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that? Was there, any particular struggles for you? Anything maybe you felt was a little easier? I'm just curious, the jump from A ball to double A there. I know that everyone talks about double A is kind of that biggest jump, especially for pitchers. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, what that was like for you too.
Yeah, it's definitely a big jump in terms of the hitters. I would say the hitters chase a lot less. They're a lot more selective. Mm-hmm. We get better pitches for sure. My first couple outings were a little bit tougher. Let's just kind of get my feet wet a little bit. But I feel like after that second outing, I kind of just hit my groove. Just kind of basically told myself, hey, it's still baseball, no matter what level it's at. So just go at them. And that I was there for a reason. Thankfully, everything kind of started to click. Oh, motion cameras went off. All right. Well, anyway, can you see me?
Right. No problem.
So everything kind of just started to click there down the stretch, and I don't know, I was able to find some success, and thankfully they trusted me down the stretch with the games on the line, so that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And was there anything in particular, pitch-wise, mechanics, that kind of clicked for you last year that you felt kind of helped you, like, take a step forward? I'm just kind of curious there as well.
Yeah, my first year, right after I got drafted, I mean, I threw like 95% fastballs at LSU. Okay. So once I got drafted, I still didn't really have a ton of feel for breaking ball. So I kind of – that didn't – when you face pro hitters, it's obviously if you only have one pitch, it's not going to go very well. So I would definitely credit my ability to develop my slider last year to a big key of my success, because I can keep hitters off balance with two-plus pitches instead of just one. And I would definitely say that – once all that started rolling together and I was able to start piling up the strikeouts, then I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's do this. Let's go after it this year. Thankfully, I was able to have a pretty good season.
That's awesome. It's, you know, I it's funny hearing pitchers talk about developing pitches. I can't imagine how kind of hard that is, but I know something that you kind of use to help yourself improve upon is biomechanics, right? Just kind of making a segue there. So I'm curious, like, how biomechanics have kind of helped you improve as a pitcher, and specifically if there's a rundown, maybe you can give us a typical day, like when in the so-called kind of Mets pitching lab now.
Yeah. So biomechanics I've pretty much used since I was a senior in high school. That's where I first started to make my first velo jump, this place called Brandon Young Physical Therapy that I grew up going there. Once I started taking baseball a little more serious, I just made a big velo jump there when we reanalyzed my mechanics and then kind of just changed and figured out what I needed to do. So I've had a little bit of experience with that coming in. When we first got the Mets pitching lab, we're not in it every day. We're only in there for throwing a bullpen. And so I've been in there. I've done two bullpens in there. One was right after the season. They flew us down from Binghamton to St. Lucie to get in there, throw a bullpen, and then send us home for the offseason because we were already built up and they wanted to get us while we were still, like, good to throw hard. And so I did that. And then once we got back for spring training and started to build up, I was in there like a couple weeks ago. Basically, we just go in there. They put the sensors all over your body. Mm-hmm. You throw in your throw in your sliding shorts and cleats. That's it. And you basically throw a bullpen, and then they'll use the data that they get from your bullpen to say, hey, this drill will help you improve your lead foot placement or your back leg push off. And the way they put it all together is really professional. And I think a lot of guys can already see things that have helped for sure.
That's amazing. That's like a Bull Durham moment, pitching your underwear, making the joke there from that part of it. That's really cool. And as far as just, you know, you're talking about biomechanics and these different things, and you're talking about the bullpen at the end of this, you could still kind of let it eat and they can get the metrics from that. And I would assume compare it to the bullpen when you come in for the spring there. Everyone's trying to gain velocity and talking so much about that, right? And it sounds like there's not one specific thing that people do to do that. Is there a couple of things now that you feel like you talked about, the biomechanical stuff you've been doing since your senior year of high school that helped you make a big velo jump? Is it strictly that kind of thing? Is it a lot of long tossing? I hear people talk a lot about that. Is it a mix? I'm just like kind of curious, like as far as different methods you continue to use to build velocity, because you just hear so many different things of people talking about it.
Yeah, a lot. I would say a lot of people use a lot of different things. I don't long toss ever, because maybe I'm not doing it right, but when I long toss, I'm trying to throw it as far as I can. And that to me is the same as trying to throw as hard as I can, which I can do on a mound. So I'm trying to focus my max intent throws to when I'm on the mound, not when I'm just trying to see how far I can throw it. Now that helps for a lot of guys. It just doesn't help me. So that's different. And for me, the velo jumps have come just from throwing every day, staying on a consistent training program, and then getting stronger, and then trying to like with this pitching lab or with the pitching labs I've been in the past, you use that data that you get to do the drills that are going to best fit your body. Like, so a drill for me is not going to be the best drill to help a pitcher that's 5'10", obviously, because there's a completely different body there. So I think it's based on what can help the individual player. And I think that's where these pitching labs help us a lot, is where you can say, hey, this is what you struggle at, this is what you're good at, this is what we're going to focus on. So it's really cool when you look at it from that standpoint.
Absolutely. That really is incredible. And is there like an arm care aspect to it too? Like, do they give you different, like, not even just workouts, but just different things like to post throwing and lifting and things of that nature too?
Yeah, arm care is huge. I mean, obviously, you want to stay on the field at all times. You don't want to ever be on the DL or IL now. But, so it's every day we do a bunch of different things. Arm care, different pitchers. Obviously, starters and relievers have different things. But it's all about just staying on the field and what's, like, best for each pitcher.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I kind of want to circle back now, you know, from the mechanics part of it, from the training part, to just talking about your approach, right? And I'm just kind of curious, like, how do you approach a series or a game, you know, from a scouting and a prep report when you are in season and things are humming along?
So a lot of the time we'll do our scout meetings at the beginning of the week for all the whole pitching staff. Okay. And so our whole reliever group, and then the pitchers that aren't pitching that day, we'll all be in there, because we'll do the general overview of the whole lineup, all the hitters that they have. And if like one pitcher has faced a certain hitter a couple times, like when we played Harrisburg last year, we faced Washington's Double A team. We had faced a lot of those guys in High A. I had faced Dylan Cruz. I faced him in college, obviously, he was my teammate. Sure. And so guys that know certain guys, you say, hey, this is how I've pitched him in the past. This is what he's good at. This is what maybe this guy struggles with. And you kind of just use that to all like basically help each other as a staff. And then I know the starting pitchers each day that they pitch. So like, let's say Blade's pitching on Tuesday and Tyler Stew's pitching on Wednesday. So Blade and the catcher and our pitching coach, AJ Sager, will do a meeting where they'll go over the starting nine from that night, this and what they go over. But for us, it's all, we get the whole scouting report on Monday or Tuesday, since we have Mondays off. And then basically when we're in the bullpen, we have the whole scouting report lined up in there. And when you get told to warm up, you're like, hey, this guy's due up, this guy's due up, this guy's due up, this is how you should attack him, this is what he's good at. So it's really in depth, and it really helps us as far from a preparation standpoint.
That's pretty incredible. I'm curious then, like, once in game, right? You have that plan, you know what these hitters are trying to go, or you know how you want to attack them. But do you still have the freedom then? Let's say, you know, maybe that particular pitch isn't, you know, working for you that night, right? You may not have command of something, you know, that part of the plate. Do you still then have that kind of freedom to then, you know, reading hitter swings and things of that nature to kind of change the game plan on the fly? Or is it kind of steadfast that they want you to stick to what the scouting report is and kind of getting the outs that way?
Yeah, I think they very much give us freedom, especially in this, because a pitching coach can't go inside your mind and know what you're, how confident you are in each certain pitch. For me, it's always, I'm going to pitch to my strengths. If this guy is a really good fastball hitter, I'm not going to just throw him six straight sliders. Like, sure, he's going to figure out how to hit a slider if I throw him six straight, right? So for me, it's all about timeliness and pitching to my strengths and combining it with what the hitter's weaknesses are. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with what I feel most confident with and go with my best pitch. Because you see every hitter, obviously their hot zone is they're really good at hitting fastballs down the middle, but they don't have a hot zone for how good are they at hitting a fastball at this velocity from a pitcher that's 6'10". So, like, well, not every pitch is the same. So I kind of look at it from attacking with my strengths and then also basing it off the scouting report.
Awesome. That was great. I'm curious, you know, from something else too, just – do you ever feel a difference, you know, is there a different mindset or as far as getting yourself ready to pitch in the sixth and the seventh inning as opposed to the eighth or the ninth? Or are you someone that's just, I'm there to get the outs that they're asking me to get whenever it is in the game? You know, it doesn't matter to me. I do my job regardless. I'm just kind of curious, you know, how you are there.
I think I try to keep the same mentality for sure. It's because you'll see in the big leagues there, they don't always use Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning every time. They'll be like, okay, 3, 4, 5's due up in the eighth. You got the eighth tonight. So they'll kind of mix it up. They want us to be ready for every part of the game to go in. So I try to treat it the same and treat everything like it's a one-run game in game 7 of the World Series. That's basically the way I try to attack it. That way I'm laser-focused and go after each guy with my best stuff.
Awesome. No, and that's great to hear. And obviously, you know, you've become more of a multi-inning reliever since you've kind of come into pro ball. How have you made that change, considering when you were at LSU, you're more of a one-inning guy? And I'm going to talk to you about LSU and the SEC in a minute because I got a couple of questions there too. But I'm just kind of curious how you were able to make that kind of change from one-inning guy to now kind of a multi-inning weapon.
It was definitely an adjustment at first. I kind of struggled with it in my first little 5-week pro season in low A. But I think I kind of made the adjustment last year to where it's like, basically what they tell me is go as hard as you can for as long as you can. And if we see that you're kind of hanging a little bit towards the end, then we're going to get you out of there. But we want you to give your best stuff for as long as you can. And I think the more times that I went out there and did it, the more stamina I kind of increased and I was able to go longer and then thus able to have more success. So, and obviously that's going to be more valuable if you can get to the big leagues and be able to throw more than just one inning if they need you to be able to get multiple guys out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point too with Diaz, you know, you made before with Diaz and everything else. It's very interesting, the mindset from starters to relievers, how different that, you know, that those worlds are in itself. That was really good. And, you know, kind of mentioned LSU there for a second. You've had quite a journey, obviously, through baseball, pitching Division III, then going to LSU and obviously getting drafted now and being in the, you know, a pro pitcher. But I'm just kind of curious, like, when did things – is there something that clicked for you at the lower levels to then make that jump to LSU? I'm just kind of curious if you could give us a little insight into that kind of journey there.
So I went to 4 different colleges. So I went to Division III school out of high school because I wasn't very good. And I didn't throw hard. And I had a little velo jump when I, after my freshman year of college. And I got to Wake Tech, which is the first junior college I went to, is when I transferred out of the D3. And I couldn't throw the ball over the plate, like, at all. Like, way worse than last year. Like, people would get on me last year about not throwing enough strikes. But it was way worse there. And it was just not good. And then COVID hit and literally – COVID saved my baseball career. It gave me an extra year of JUCO eligibility. So then I was able to transfer to Pitt Community College where I had a great coach there who kind of helped me with the mental game. He's like, dude, you're 6'10". You throw 95 miles an hour. Like, why are we pitching around these guys? Just throw everything down the middle and let your stuff work. And I got at Pitt Community College. It was just like everything kind of clicked. Like you said, it was a everything came together. I put together a really good season. And then when LSU called me one day, I kind of like freaked out because it's like, dude, it's LSU. It's the greatest program in college baseball, in my opinion. And so as soon as they called me, I was like dead set on going there. And then once I got there, it was just like, hey, everyone here is a really good player. And you're here because you're a good player too. Don't think that you have to pitch Dylan Cruz and Jacob Berry and Kay Doty. Don't act like you got to pitch them different. Pitch to your strengths. And that's where I kind of got the pitching to my strengths thing is everyone's a good hitter, especially at this point in our careers. Cool. You got to go at them with your best stuff. So that's what I've done. And thankfully, LSU, which was the best year of my life, I got to have a lot of success.
That's awesome. Can you just talk a little bit about just the atmosphere of pitching in the SEC and how you think maybe that can help, you know, it's helped you now as a professional, kind of that, those kind of hostile environments?
Yeah, the SEC environments are different for sure. I remember my third week at LSU, our third series, it was we played at the Astros Stadium and we were playing Texas a Saturday night. And I was like, oh, this will be cool. Like we get in there, we walk out, there's 25,000 people there. And you're like, whoa, this is not what it was like in JUCO last year. And the whole season, you got so many people that it's like, you pitch bad, they're going to let you know. You pitch good, they're going to celebrate you. And it was a lot of fun to get used to that. And I wouldn't really say, like, I would say it probably prepares you a lot more for the major leagues than anything else. Okay. But the minor leagues, you don't have near the crowds that you have in the
FC. Sure.
Maybe a couple times in Brooklyn we would have 5,000, but at LSU it was 13,000 every single night. Wow. Go out there and pitch. Mississippi State was 14,000, like 800 or something.
Sure.
And then I'm sure for the guys that pitched in Omaha, they'll say that those atmospheres were even crazier. But I would say the SEC, I mean, it's a gauntlet. And it's different in the minor leagues. You don't pitch every single game when you're a reliever because, you know, they got to take care of your arms, stuff like that.
Sure.
But at LSU, it was, well, you got to be ready to pitch every single day. And that's why it wasn't always like 2-3 innings. It was, hey, these are the biggest three outs of the game. We need you to get them on Saturday and Sunday. And so there was a lot of weekends where I would throw all three games. And I think that prepared me for what it would be like as a one-inning guy if I was to make it to the big leagues. And then a lot of last year was, hey, you can go multi-innings too. So I think that helped me a lot with being able to be effective in both situations.
That's awesome. And to round out the LSU things, I do, since this is a Mets podcast, I don't know how many Met fans know, but maybe can you tell us a little bit about Dylan Cruz and how annoyed you are that you might have to face him in the NL East now for like next many years? Just give us a little a scouting report on that guy, because I don't know if many Met fans know, but he's pretty damn good from what it seems like.
Yeah, he's the best player I've ever played with, for sure. It's bar none. He's unbelievable. And I'd like to think I played with a lot of really good players. He doesn't really swing at balls at all, which is, I think, his greatest asset. And then he can hit the ball to all fields. So you're not – if you play, do a little shift on him, he'll be perfectly content hitting a ground ball where the second baseman would be and getting a base hit. And for me, the biggest thing about Dylan that I love about him is that he's 10 times better person than he is a baseball player. And I know a lot of guys won't like to hear that because he's a rival and stuff like that. But I got to give him his flowers when it comes to that. He's a great guy with the community. He's a good friend of mine. And, that's not going to be fun if he stays in the division for a long time. He's a really good player.
Yeah, no, the Nats got a good one there. Like I said, I know Met fans are going to find out sooner than later about it, but good to get a nice firsthand scouting report there. That was great. But, you know, talking about getting guys like that out, right? I know you talked about developing a slider. I believe that, you know, you developed a splitter as well. I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about that and if that's, you know, something that you're focusing on this spring.
The splitter was definitely a work in progress last year when I'd kind of refined the slider last year and I was trying to work my fastball and slider together. And then I'd mix in the splitter when I could, but I didn't really have a lot of confidence throwing it. So this offseason, I really kind of attacked it, and I wanted to make sure I had a true like third offering that I could use against both right-handed and left-handed hitters. The hitters would have to honor and respect and not just go up there sitting on two pitches. I really worked on it hard this offseason and since I've gotten here in mid-January, and I'd like to think that my last outing was pretty good. I was able to command it pretty well, so I'm really excited about where I can take that pitch this season.
Awesome. Three pitch mix. You love that. Love to hear that, especially off a 95 mile an hour fastball. But I got, you know, last question kind of in two parts for you. We want to keep you here all night, but I'm just kind of wondering what your goals are for 2024 and how the get ready camp in Port St. Lucie kind of helped you get ready for the season, is helping you kind of with your goals for 2024 as well?
My goal is to make it to the major leagues this year. I'm sure a lot of guys, that's everybody's goal. But I mean, for me, I feel like I can really do it if I stick to my plan, stay healthy, and really get after it. That's the game plan. It's obviously goal number one. And goal number two is to, no matter where I'm at, whether it's Binghamton, Syracuse, New York, no matter where I'm at, just help the team win. So I think that's the greatest asset anyone can be, is someone that helps their team win. And whenever I finish playing baseball, I hope people will say that I'm a winner and that I help impact the team with winning as much as I could. So those are like my two ultimate goals: win and make it to the big leagues.
Awesome.
And then as far as the get ready camp, it was awesome. It was cool to get back out here and see all the guys and like build that camaraderie again, and be able to like pick the minds of all our coaches, and not only our coaches, but your teammates who may be great at things that you're not great at, and kind of just see what things work together. So I really like these camps, as far as they really kind of just build you up. They get you ready. Like, it's get ready camp, obviously.
Sure.
They get you ready for the season. And now it's mid-February. I think a lot of guys are almost in season form, if not already there, because we've been able to get together and work on this stuff for, I guess I've been here for 5 weeks now. So.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Loved it. A lot of good things happening with the young Mets down there, with you future Mets. The pipeline looks very bright. Excited for this year for you and beyond. Paul, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm excited to, you know, follow you all this season, especially once you get up here in 24 with the big club. We tribute to them. We're looking forward to it. But until then, everyone, we'll catch you next week with everything from the latest from spring training. And as always, let's go Mets.